When you read the Bible from beginning to end, which many of you all have done in disciple Bible studies, you start to see some commonalities, especially in the Old Testament prophets. The Israelites do terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things, so God sends a prophet to tell them to change their ways, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel. The people laugh at the prophet, they roll their eyes at the prophet, they ignore the prophet. Frustrated, the prophet says, okay, but don't say I didn't warn you. And typically a foreign army invades, defeats the Israelites, and the people think, I guess we should have listened to that prophet after all. This is how the Hebrew people made meaning out of their circumstances. It's how they explained why bad things happen. But the book of Jonah is breaking all the rules. The author is being playful with this predictable prophet pattern. Our modern brains sometimes forget that Scripture can be funny. That's what the author of Jonah is aiming for. He's trying to start a conversation about suffering and sin and forgiveness in a lighthearted way. The people of Nineveh do terrible, horrible, no good, very bad things. God calls Jonah to go and tell them to change their ways. But Jonah says no and goes the opposite direction. Prophets aren't supposed to do that. Then Jonah gets knocked off the boat, eaten by a fish. He stubbornly stays in the belly of the fish for 3 days before he finally says, all right, I'll go. His first day on the job, Jonah is so convincing that everyone in this city listens to him. That's not supposed to happen either. The king orders all of the people and the animals to fast and pray. How do you get a dog to pray? I can't even get my dog to sit. See, that's humor. It killed in the ancient times. Sometimes we don't quite see it, but they thought it was pretty funny. The humans put on uncomfortable sackcloths, which is like wearing a potato sack. It's made of scratchy goat's hair. And just to be sure they've covered all their bases, they dress their cats and their dogs in the potato sacks too. God is so moved by this swift and thorough repentance that God changes his mind and says, I will no longer bring a disaster upon the city of Nineveh. And that makes Jonah angry. He says, this is why I fled to Tarshish from the beginning. I knew this was going to happen. I knew that you are a just and loving and merciful God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Jonah is mad because he wanted the city of Nineveh to burn, not get a blessing. This humorous account reminds us that our God is slow to judge and quick to forgive. And sometimes that makes us humans mad. Because there are people who really don't deserve God's grace. They aren't like you and me. Sure, we can be self-centered and we make mistakes, but we're not like them. They are really bad. Worst kind of sinner. Couldn't possibly be redeemed. Their poor life choices got them into their situation, so they should suffer the consequences. They're a bad seed. Even as a kid, you knew something wasn't right. They are choosing to live a life of sin, and they deserve to be punished. Because that's the way the world works. But it's not the way that God works. With God, no one is beyond redemption. Anyone can change the course of their life and get a fresh start. The dark parts of our past do not define us. For the light of Christ casts away all darkness. This past week, I had the great privilege of being with the middle school youth from this church in Charlotte, North Carolina. They did mission work day after day after day with smiles on their faces. They prepared lunch and talked with men who are in rehab for alcohol and drug addiction. They went to the Samaritan House, which is a place where the homeless can come and recuperate when they're recovering from cancer or after they've broken a leg or an arm. They can stay there until they're strong enough to go back out onto the streets. And our youth played games with them, baked them cookies, gave them lemonade. They washed the feet of elderly in an assisted living home. And every day, every site that we visited, we met someone who preached to us, who shared their life story and reminded us that the God we worship loves to give second chances. 66-year-old Freddie told us that he was addicted to alcohol and homeless by age 27. He liked being in jail or in prison because it gave his life structure. When he was out on parole, he was lost. He had nothing to keep him going, nothing to fill his time, so he drank. A pastor offered him a second chance after he'd gotten out of detox. The pastor said, "Come and work at my church. But if I so much as smell mouthwash on your breath, you're out of here." Freddie found routine again. He found hope again. And he's been sober 30 years and working in churches every day since. We met a woman who was a case manager at a transitional housing facility. And she asked the teenagers, "What does homelessness look like?" They said what you might think. Old, ragged clothes, living on the streets, pushing around a grocery cart filled with stuff. And this tall, elegant woman with a long purple dress and silver jewelry said, "I was homeless at one point." Said, "Most Americans are often just living paycheck to paycheck. And one unexpected bill can get them behind, and they miss rent one month, and they miss it again, and they're evicted. Best case scenario, they have friends and family where they can couch hop. Worst case scenario, they're out on the streets." She now serves the homeless and helps them find solid ground again because someone did that for her. Person after person shared stories like this with us. We heard familiar patterns. Family members who had given up hope. Friends who deserted them. The thing that changed the course of their life was when they realized that God is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The very same news that makes Jonah livid is the message that brought these men and women back to life. One Presbyterian church we visited is full of dozens and dozens of prayer stations. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could walk in there at 3 a.m. and write a prayer to God, or paint, or do puzzles, or watch video clips and then reflect on them. There was a prayer on the staircase going up that said this: "Our Savior kneels down and gazes upon the darkest acts of our lives. But rather than recoiling in horror, he reaches out in kindness and says, 'I can help you with that if you want.' Our God is loving, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. God doesn't love the way the world loves. God's love turns earthly logic on its head. Whether you worked a 10-hour day or a 1-hour day, everyone gets the same amount of money on their paycheck. Whether you're the prodigal son, the wild child who lived it up and lost all your money, or you're the one who followed all the rules and lived by the straight and narrow all your life, when you're back home, your divine parent will welcome you with open arms. Whether you're like Jonah, running as far away as you can from God, or like the Ninevites who are offering all that you have and all that you are to the Lord, you are loved by the God who made you." That's the amazing news of the gospel. And sometimes it's hard to swallow, because God's sense of fairness is very different from ours. God's ability to love far surpasses ours. God isn't seated on some high bench with a gavel doling out punishment. Our God is one who refuses to let runaways stay gone for too long. Our God is the one who gives us bushes and trees so that we have shade to protect us from the heat. Our God gives us still waters and green pastures that restore our souls. God is concerned about every person in every city, no exception. We humans are quick to judge, point the finger, pass the blame, treat each other pretty harshly. But thanks be to God, we have a Savior who shows us another way and invites us to give it a try. Hallelujah. Amen.